Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Yes, this is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. Folks, this is the best radio station in the state. They've been voted so by their peers 6 years in a row. This is the show that takes creativity so seriously that we refuse to define it for you. Instead, over the 148, I was just reminded, 148 shows we've done for you, I try to bring you lots of different perspectives so you can create your own understanding of what it means to be creative. And one of the ways I do that is by bringing in awesome guests to share their thoughts about creativity. And that's what we're going to do again today. Our guest today is Vivek Munshi. He's a healthcare executive turned day trader. After years helping bring life-saving and life-changing medical technologies to patients, he turned to day trading to bring more flexibility to his life. And folks, what he's doing with that flexibility is marvelous. On the one hand, some of that flexibility that he's got, he's investing his time in helping medical technology startups come to be. And he's also, with his family, has started a nonprofit. It's a bakery that commits all of its profits to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Vivek. Is there anything you'd like to add to the introduction?
That's great. No, thank you, Carl. I really appreciate you having me here today.
Well, in our time together, we've met each other fairly recently, did Vivek and I, but I've heard the story about how he got started in the medical device world, and it's a great story. Why don't you share that with the audience?
Sure thing, Carl. I think I'll start off by just saying that, you know, my career hasn't really followed a straight line, but the through line has always been about impact. And that started pretty early on in college, actually. I fell in love with the field of electrical engineering. It's what my degree's in. And I thought my career was going to be focused on cell phone and communication technologies. You know, it was a hot new field at the time. And that was the plan, at least, as I planned to attend graduate school in that field. But during my final year at Duke, you know, I was walking around the tables at a summer job fair and came across a company called Guidant. And they were, what I learned, a medical device company that made implantable pacemakers, defibrillators, and other types of products. And I was only vaguely aware of what medical device companies did at the time, but was intrigued enough that I thought, okay, I should apply. And fast forward that summer, I started my internship there in Minnesota. I was having a great time, but there was one day that stood out in particular, where they invited all the employees of the company to this great big church in Minneapolis. And at the front of the church, we're all sitting, and at the front of the church, there was a panel of patients and their family members, all telling stories and sharing stories of how Guidant products had impacted their lives. And I'll never forget the story of a woman who said she was standing in the kitchen with her husband, and suddenly she screamed in shock when he fell to the floor and lay still for a few seconds, only to see a sudden wave of energy jolt under his chest, which quite literally brought him back to life.
Wow.
I mean, you can imagine, wow, as she's recanting the story, there's not a dry eye in the church.
Wow.
It's just simply amazing. And I'm sitting in the back, you know, as an intern, thinking to myself, like, okay, that, when I look back now, I can appreciate that was definitely a trigger point in my career, you know, where I pivoted from wanting to be involved with cell phone technology, which, don't get me wrong, it's still a very important staple of our everyday lives, but into the world of healthcare. It's then that I realized, you know, medical devices was more than just about making and selling a device, but it was more about responsibility to help people in need.
Well, that's impact. I mean, you said you used the word impact. I'm just hearing impact, man. I'm hearing impact.
Yeah, and it was definitely a seminal moment in my career. It's in fact, when I still went on to grad school, you know, I changed my curricula to focus on medical technologies, and what I did after that was start a career within the medical device space, and haven't looked back since.
So undergrad at Duke, and where did you go to grad school?
Stanford.
At Stanford, yeah. Okay. And you were out there as an engineering student?
Yeah, it's funny you said that. So I started off as an engineering major, and that's what I wanted to do. But I think it was through this internship and others that I realized my ability to have more impact and more visibility to the end patient was going to be through more of the business or the marketing side. I really wanted that. It was great to work on the technologies themselves, but I wanted to be on the forefront working with physicians, with surgeons, and their patients to see how those devices were working, what could be improved, and take that information back. And that was great for me because it leveraged both skills. I love to be that in that side of things with the physician, with the end user. But the engineering background I had in school was lent me credibility with the engineers in the company on how to, you know, when I asked for something, I said, this is a true need. I wasn't asking for a pie in the sky.
Cool.
They knew that I was asking for something that the market really needed.
Right on. So you're in that medical device world for a couple of decades.
Yeah. Almost 20 years. Yeah. And about 5 years into it, you know, I was fortunate enough after working in, you know, the hearing aid space, in the cardiology space, a new opportunity came up with a former classmate of mine, actually at Stanford, who was working at a company called Smith & Nephew. And it was where an opportunity that helped, that overlapped with a deep passion of mine. You know, one thing that I think we've talked about offline here is, you know, I've always been a lifelong athlete and sports fan, you know, from Little League baseball and soccer to high school basketball to intramural sports in college to even now to this day. You know, about 5 years ago, I started this local weekly pickup basketball game with a group of dads around the triangle. We're trying to relive our glory days, if you will. Everyone realizes we aren't, you know, trying to make the NBA, but these are some crazy competitive hoops, Carl. But nonetheless, about 15 years ago, this passion for sports naturally led me into the world of orthopedics and sports medicine, subspecialty within the medical device industry. Yeah. So my work was there was really focused on marketing and selling the implants and instruments and clinic devices that allowed orthopedic surgeons to treat people, both like elite level professional athletes and everyday people like myself, get back to doing what they love, right? And getting back to an active life.
That's wonderful.
And I couldn't have asked for a better career move at the time, one that aligned so much with, you know, a passion of mine.
I wish I had a bell here that I could ring a second time for, because I keep hearing impact. It's a wonderful word that you introduced at the very beginning, because it's playing out time and again, make an impact.
Yeah. Well, what they say when your work overlaps with your passion, it doesn't feel like work, right? You feel like you're just doing something you love, but also helping other people. That's the impact.
Right. Well, so it brought together two passions in that you love sports and you loved helping other people.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. How wonderful to be able to tend to your own passion while you're helping care for others.
Absolutely.
That's marvelous. That's marvelous. Good for you. We got 30 seconds left in the segment. Bring us a little bit further along in that story.
Well, you know, one thing I realized was I really love my day-to-day work. I really loved helping patients and working with a team of people. But still I felt like something was missing in terms of my ability to help people. And it coincided with a change that happened in my job situation.
Okay. And so that's what introduced you to day trading?
Exactly.
And that's what we're going to hear about, folks, when we come back for the next segment. Please come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back, folks. We have a wonderful guest here today who's been talking about his background in the medical device world, Vivek Munshi. And we just were at a wonderful point of transition because he's made a major change in his life here recently over the last few years. Vivek, tell us a little bit about that change in your life and why that happened.
Yeah, no worries. So here's where my career took a pretty big turn, I'll say. You know, just some backdrop. You know, my father, who lives in the area, he only lives about 10 minutes from us, moved here up from New Orleans during COVID times. He'd been encouraging me for years to pick up day trading, something that he had been doing. He taught himself over the past 20 years and had been doing as a hobby, and just always asking me, partly, I think, to kind of pass on his legacy of all the knowledge he'd learned. But I would always tell him, look, Dad, I get it, but I just don't have interest. I don't have time. And just kept putting him at bay. But, you know, and then I think about my day-to-day work and what I was doing in helping patients. I felt really good about it. But a few years ago, I did find myself with a window of time to consider doing something else. And I wouldn't call it a midlife crisis. I'll just call it a midlife reflection. Just thinking about what I wanted to do when I, you know, quote, grew up and for the rest of my working years. And honestly, truth be told, it was my wife who inspired me to take that risk because earlier that year, she changed her career herself from being a practicing psychiatrist to a high school science teacher.
Lucky students. Lucky students.
She's wonderful at what she does. But when I saw her make that change, it gave me the courage, I think, to even consider something different. So I decided to take my dad's offer. I said, look, I have some time on my hand. I don't know if I'm interested. Maybe I will be. Help me learn. So he sent me hundreds and hundreds of videos. Nowadays, of course, everything's online, that I would just consume every night, right? And the next day, we'd talk about them. I'd go over to his house. I'd sit side by side, working on our computers, you know, paper trading. It's called, like, you know, fake trading without real money, right? Just to learn the basics.
Okay.
My mom, I'm sure, loved it because she'd be making meals for us. And it was like I was back in high school.
Oh, yay.
But nonetheless, you know, my dad really taught me everything I know to this day, and we still talk on a daily basis. It wasn't something I thought I could do full time, to be honest. I thought it was maybe like good side income, but about 6 months in, I realized, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this, and I think I could earn a living from it.
So, okay, let me pause you just for a moment before we leave Dad. So your coaching from your father, was that mostly on the process?
That's a great question.
The technology use, or was it also in reading the tea leaves, if you will?
I'll tell you, it's neither of those.
Okay.
Yes, he taught me both of those. The biggest thing my dad taught me was, which is the hardest part about, in my opinion, about day trading. It's the emotional part. It's the mental aspect.
Oh, sure.
You wouldn't believe how much, you know, ups and downs you go through when you think about how to process the emotions around both winning money and, more importantly, losing money.
Yes.
You know, it's like it's one thing to think about earning a paycheck, steady paycheck from a 9-to-5 job, but another when and everything's on the line and you're earning this income in the market.
Yeah.
He would sit there and tell me, I know everything you're about to go through, all the ups, all the downs. And you're about to experience some incredible highs and some really low lows. And just know that I'm here for you and I'll walk you through it. And I'll tell you, Carl, that was critical to have a mentor like that and my dad to walk me through that. And there's times where something would happen, good or bad, and I'd think about what he said and I say, that's great. And there's other times where I'm like, I don't think anything he could have told me would have prepared me for this, but you just have to experience it. He told me about it, but I had to experience it to really let that lesson sink in. So I have a lot to thank to my dad for all he's imparted, not just the technical knowledge of how to read charts and look for things, but the emotional and the mental aspect of trading.
Because you're going to get high, don't get too high. You're going to get low, don't get too low.
Slow and steady. You almost have to, I hate to say it, but you have to almost become emotionless about trading, just knowing that you're doing something that's dealing with probability. It's never a straight line up and to the right. It's going to be choppy. As long as the underlying trend is up and to the right, you're doing something okay.
Right. So tell us more about it then.
I really enjoy it. It allows me to exercise my analytical skills on a daily basis, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, while it provides income for my family, the honest truth is it doesn't provide the same emotional fulfillment as healthcare, you know, but it does provide something powerful, and that's flexibility.
Right.
Day trading didn't replace my purpose, but it did create space for it. It created space for having impact in other areas.
Okay.
And an example of that is nowadays I stay connected to healthcare by serving as a consultant and an advisory board member on some medical device startups, actually one here locally. And the reason why I enjoy it so much is because it's a way to stay connected to innovation, which I really love. I get a chance to mentor founders, these young, hungry entrepreneurs that, you know, on lessons I've learned throughout the years, right?
Right.
And finally, it ultimately helps me turn really promising ideas into real patient impact.
Okay.
So I'm glad that I didn't like leave healthcare, that I just changed how I showed up.
Gotcha. So you've got a client that's here local.
Yes.
And you have other clients that you work with?
Yeah, in the Bay Area, California.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just honestly not something I necessarily actively go search, but I think people on LinkedIn is a great tool, and people find me and say, hey, you have this unique experience, this background. Would you be willing to help advise and serve in this manner? And I'm always happy to, because it lets me be connected.
When I was in that phase of helping startups, I have to say, I'd like to think they were asking for my wisdom. Mm-hmm. What they were really asking for was my help in raising money. Because nobody likes to raise money. Do you participate in that for your clients?
A little bit. My expertise area was more on the commercial side of things. So areas I really help out with are how to position the product, how to market the product, how to think about your target audience, how to price the product, reimbursement, all these things in healthcare we take for granted. But you could have the greatest widget in the world, but if no one's willing to pay for it,
right,
whether it's the patient or the insurance company or, you know, what any other party, a lot of great technologies don't see light because, not because they're not good technologies, but just because they don't have access to right. the ultimate end user.
And I know you well enough to guess that you do your own little due diligence on these guys before you commit to them.
Yeah. I mean, I have to believe in technology right. and the founder to really want to spend my time helping them. But when I find that perfect match and you know, of an opportunity where I just think a little bit of guidance could help, then I'm super excited to right. to serve in any way I can to help right. them.
Well, I love career paths that aren't paths, you know, that are wandering, meandering mm-hmm. Journeys. And it certainly sounds like you've been on one. And folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to hear about a project that I hear excitement when Vivek talks about almost all of his career, but boy, I hear real excitement. I think I used the word passion in the introduction when he talks about what's coming next, folks. So come on back and you can share in his passion. And so come on back after the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. I hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday. I sure am. I'm in the studio with a wonderful guest, Vivek Munshi. We've heard about his career in medical device world. We've heard about his career, the change that he made in his career when he got into being a day trader. One of the reasons he's a day trader is to have flexibility. What you're going to hear about now, folks, is a really cool project. Tell us about this thing that's been going on in your life now with your family.
Thanks, Carl. Yeah, the biggest thing that trading and this advisory consulting work I've been doing is it's given me control over time, which is probably one of the most difficult resources to control. It's enabled me to, you know, volunteer at my kids' school more. I serve on the program committee for the Emily K Center in Durham, which is a nonprofit organization founded by Coach K of Duke to help, you know, K-12 and college students succeed in higher education and become community leaders. And finally, the flexibility has allowed me to be more present as a parent, as more importantly, as a community member, in specifically one of the coolest experiences I've been fortunate to be involved with. And that's recently creating a family-run nonprofit with my wife and kids.
All right.
Yeah. This idea came from volunteering at the food bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. During one of the school years, they had an opportunity for parents and their children to kind of volunteer. So my wife and I and the kids went to Durham and we sorted and packed food donations up. And we did some research. We learned more about the organization by participating. And we found out some really glaring statistics, Carl. I don't know if you knew this, but over 600,000 individuals in our region alone face hunger.
Oh.
And that includes about 170,000 kids and teens. So one in every five youths. It's just a staggering number that was really disturbing to us. And, you know, there are programs like SNAP and FNS and food stamps that help. But the need for food assistance is higher than we've seen in decades because, you know, cuts to federal funding,
right.
the elimination of national nutritional programs. These have seriously hampered the efforts of, you know, hunger relief organizations like the food bank here right. in North Carolina. So we just felt, you know, no family should have to decide whether to pay for health care or rent or food. It's just not a choice they should have to make. That's what led my family and myself to decide to do something about it. And some backdrop, but for years, my wife Krishna would make these elaborately decorated iced sugar cookies for friends' baby showers, for weddings, for their kids' birthdays. And we took that idea and created a nonprofit called Sweet Donations. Dough with spelled D-O-U-G, Sweet Donations.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And what we do is we create custom decorated cookies for various celebrations and causes and then donate 100% of those profits to the food bank.
Nice.
And we look at it as a win-win-win, right? For our donors, it's an opportunity to have a uniquely designed set of cookies for whatever event, right? Teacher gifts, awareness campaigns, life celebrations. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with store-bought, you know, desserts, but it's something else to celebrate with a set of customized, unique treats that leave a lasting impression.
Right? Absolutely.
For my wife, we talk about creativity. She's such a creative person that this presents a creative challenge that she loves. right? All you do as a donor is tell her the theme, right? You can be, I like dinosaurs, or my kid likes dinosaurs, or I love Iron Man, or whatever. And she takes that and runs with it. She designs the cookies, she makes the cookies, and these elaborate cookies, and handles all the details. And finally, and most importantly, every dollar we earn goes to the food bank.
That's wonderful. So these are sugar cookies, you say, and they're fairly large. So
yeah,
she has a nice canvas.
Different style, a lot to work with.
Okay.
And she's got all kinds of techniques and tools that she uses. And so it's a project that we all got involved with, where my daughter and I were going door to door at the very beginning stages, just doing some market research, right? Using the experiences and tools that I've used in my earlier career on understanding, would people want something like this? What would they be willing to donate?
Knocking on the door in the neighborhood and asking people, do you think this is something that you would be interested in? Oh, good for you.
Yeah,
how old's your daughter?
She's 12 years old.
Oh,
yeah.
My. What she is learning.
Yes, I know.
What she is learning is awesome.
She might say she didn't enjoy 100% of it, but I told her, you know, part of life is learning rejection. And we had some closed doors in our face. And
sure,
that's okay.
Sure.
But we also learned a ton, and I think she got a lot of that experience as well.
So tell us the name again.
It's called Sweet Donations, and if you don't mind, I just want to share the impact that we've
had. Right? Please.
So last year, in 6 months alone, we donated an amount to the food bank that they could in turn generate roughly 25,000 meals.
Oh!
Yeah.
Impact.
All through the generosity. It's not us. It's all through the generosity of our donors. And we like to say, you know, our slogan is that we're baking the world a better place, one cookie at a time. I know it sounds so cheesy, but we hope to bring that awareness to what's a serious problem, honestly, and provide even more meals to the people in need in our community for this year and beyond.
That's awesome. Well, I know that there's a whole lot of people listening who would love to be part of what you're talking about doing here. So, folks, I want to remind you that on Wednesday, here we are on Sunday, so what, 4 days from now on Wednesday when the show is posted on the Chapelboro website, not only will there be a couple of paragraph overview of what's going on here written up, but there will also be a link to your website.
Yes, www.sweetdonations.com. Again, donations is spelled D-O-U-G-H.
And what will they find when they go to your website?
They'll find kind of our mission, what we do, some of the data I shared about the food bank and the need that we have here, along with some examples of cookies that you can order, some great pictures, and along with an order form or order request form where you can place an order request. We also have an Instagram post where we have more recently baked cookies that show amazing, again, examples of my wife's work. Please check it out. Please consider us for your next event.
Is there an order too small, an order too large?
We typically do 6, 12, and 24 batch cookies. We also actually have a really cool thing that we tried a couple times last year that we want to expand on, and that's cookie decorating workshops. So if you have like a team building exercise or a family get together,
kids
activity you want to run, my wife will run a 2-3 hour workshop where she'll actually show you how to decorate.
Oh, how wonderful.
A set of cookies that are
How very, very cool. How very, very cool. Well, thank you for coming in today and sharing these wonderful stories with us. I sure appreciate that. I'm sure the listeners appreciate that. And so let me repeat this one more time. Here we are on Sunday. Come Wednesday, when you go to the chapelboro.com website, you'll find the show is posted there, but you'll also find a link that will bring you to
www.sweetdonations.com.
And I hope you do that. And you got a birthday. Somebody's got a birthday coming up, folks. I think this is going to be a great, great add to your birthday party. Thank you so much, sir. And for the rest of you, I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.